Hey, this is Hutch. Welcome to another edition of Road Noise with Hutch. Been a while. Today, we're going to talk about architecting my AI infrastructure, including two new Teslas. Look, Ma, no hands. Doing the self-driving right now. Before we get into the tech stuff, and this video is about the tech, I want to address the elephant in the room. Do not derive any sort of political view or agenda from this video. It's about the tech. If you know anything about me, you know I despise politics. Actually, I think both sides rob people of their critical thinking. We're going to get into that with AI in just a little bit. But people want to belong to a tribe so well. And I think the powers that be, in fact, I just saw a really interesting video about PSYOPs, psychological operations, and that the political dribble on both sides of the aisle is really about division, and it's sickening to me. And again, like if you get a large group of people or family together and ask where to go to eat, it's hard enough to get 10 people to agree on where to go to eat and when, much less like we're going to all agree all across party lines about all of these issues, whether it be, world economics stability, whether it be about geopolitical wars, the environment, the whatever racial issues, taxes, there's no way you could just like be in that much agreement with everybody else. And I personally think that political parties should be abolished and everybody should just have to vote on issues. But I digress. I give politics about that much energy once every 2 to 4 years, because I have this little circuit breaker in my brain that says, can I affect, influence, or control this issue? And if the answer is no, I go focus my energy elsewhere. If the answer is yes, and it happens every 2 to 4 years, I take some time and I devote some of my energy to it. But that circuit breaker has really helped keep me sane. And it's amazing to me. I have friends on both sides of the aisle to see how much people get consumed and really just, they're just kind of objects of this PSYOP. They don't realize that, how much of their attention and serenity is being robbed from them. I digress. Let's get back to tech. These two Teslas, Elon Musk, I'm kind of happy they got him out of politics. And I believe that the spirit of Doge was in a good thing. Like, how could it not be? How could government efficiency not be a good thing for any party? Execution probably wasn't what it needed to be. And regardless, the one big, beautiful bill, like we're expanding the deficit so much, like it didn't even matter. But I'm happy they got Elon out of politics, because I'm pretty sure somebody was going to kill him. And I think his brain in terms of tech and advancing the human experience through tech is so valuable. I'm happy he's back in his true purpose, rather than being frustrated by the entrenchment of corruption in politics, which exists on both sides of the aisle, which is what he discovered. Trying to fight that, it wasn't going to work. So let's talk about Tesla. You know, before this, I always had hybrids, because in California, there were, like right now, I'm not in the carpool lane, driving by myself. Actually, I have a robot driving for me, but I'm kind of paying attention. It'll yell at me if I'm not, and it'll make me take control. But I used to have a carpool lane sticker for having an energy efficient vehicle. So I always got a plug-in hybrid, which it only gave me like 20 miles of electric, which I don't know why they gave me access to go in the carpool lane with that. Had Chevy Volts, then Ford Fusions, then a BMW 530e. Resisted the Tesla or the all-electric, because it's like, sometimes I would forget to charge the car. Like, I wanted to like drive to Vegas or whatever. Like, I don't want to have to worry about running out of energy. So I didn't do it. But I heard after the One Big Beautiful Bill Act that Elon's credits were getting taken away for September 30th. And a pickleball friend of mine was getting new cars. And we went to lunch, and he said that, like, essentially Elon was just blowing them out. And even though I don't qualify for the tax credit, kind of like with Roth or whatever, I make too much money for that. It was applied to leases, which I can deduct further. And so that was interesting to me. I went and in the shop in test drove. The other reason is three of the Hutch girls You guys, if you've been around for a while, you've seen baby pictures of them. But two out of three of the Hutch girls got into three minor fender benders in the month of August. Like, please, can we please stop bumping into things? And finally, after that lunch, I thought, you know what? I'm just going to get them a robot. Like, I like driving, but I'm going to go ahead and get them a robot. And after test driving and look at the economics of this, this is a Model 3, I was like, okay, cool. That's a done deal. And then when I started driving it, I'm going to tell you some of my other little Tesla hacks. I was like, this is just an amazing experience. And I am saving money because he's blowing them out. So, like, even if I wasn't, what I'm going to pick up from efficiency is so worth it. So we got a Model Y as well. And super happy with both. Have them both now. Mrs. Hutch likes the Model Y better. It's fine. I don't care. I like this little car. So let's talk about what I like about it. So first of all, like, I am a good driver, and I do like to drive. But in Southern California, there's just so much congestion, and there's just nowhere to go that I catch myself getting frustrated. And so I'm doing lane changes. Not recklessly and whatever, but it's just like, what am I picking up? And so I'm focusing all this bandwidth on trying to save like an extra minute or two. And now that I have this self-driving, look, Ma, no hands. I realize I could just completely focus. It's putting me in a toll lane, which I don't think I need. So look, I'm getting out of self-driving because I don't want to be in the toll lane. And I don't think it's necessary right now. Cool. I just put it back on self-driving. But it just, other than that, like, it just totally frees me up to think, talk to other people via phone. The other thing I love about this is this Grok AI. I don't know if you've heard of Grok AI, but Grok AI is, where the heck is it taking me? What are you doing? So sometimes, like, the self-driving, you got to kind of watch it sometimes because I don't know what it was actually doing. Just stay here. Grok AI is like ChatGPT. It's like the Elon version. Truth be told, I have both. I have ChatGPT and Grok AI. But the fact that the Grok AI is here in my vehicle, any conversations I have with it, I link it to my account. I have a Twitter premium account, and so it comes with that. But all the chats that I have with it are now waiting for me in either my laptop or my phone when I'm done. And that, this is kind of earth-shattering. And I'm just scratching the surface. So I'm now getting to the point where I'm asking what I can link it to with different accounts and Zapier to kind of just automate mundane tasks or time wasters in my life. But I'm just going to go, like, because I know a lot of you are starting from scratch with AI. I have noticed, like, a lot of my business used to come from search engine optimization, just having really good content on life insurance and infinite banking. And our traffic is down. Like, we are slow this year, and it's because people's search behavior has changed. And, like, you may have noticed when you Google something, you get this AI slop up top. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not. Maybe there's three articles referenced, but a lot of times people get the answer to their question right there, and they're not coming to, excuse me, my site as much, and they're not burrowing as deep, nor am I when I research things. Before, when I used to research things, you know, you go to search engine and read the top 3, 4, 5, 6 article, everything on the first page, a lot of it's crap, just keyword stuffing. Or just like an overview by a site that, like, a big site that has domain authority. And, like, for instance, you know, I used to be number one for the infinite banking concept. And then pretty soon, NASDAQ had an article on it. Like, NASDAQ? Why are you reporting on infinite banking? And why is your thing just so, like, why is your article so surfacey? Allstate, they don't even have a whole life policy. Like, and basically, these big companies with really big domain authority are hiring these bloggers just to kind of, like, hey, search every possible topic and make sure you have something, probably using AI to write it because the stuff is not very deep. And so our search rankings have been hurt. actually doing a couple conferences later in the month to see how we can use AI, because we have so much written content, and I would say arguably the best content out there, the most detailed. I know that's why a lot of you found me in the first place, but long story longer, it is not working because people use ChatGPT for search, as do I. So for instance, I like it because it's interactive and I can actually ask it questions and I can go back and forth and I can choose to drill deeper. And rather than myself having to curate a bunch of different articles, first of all, to find which is good. And then once I find which is good, to go deeper on their site and find where it is, I'm just using AI to curate that for me. And rather than type at home or even talk at home, I'm just using my car ride and I'm just asking Grok questions. Grok, again, is Elon or Twitter's version of ChatGPT. And it's amazing. It's amazing how productive it is. Truth be told, that I just learned this from Grok itself, that the installed versions on all Teslas is like, essentially they just kind of put something, I think from March 2024 and before, it's kind of preloaded on here. So you don't get oftentimes the latest and greatest stuff. But again, I could kind of figure that out in quick conversations. Everything is archived in my Grok app or on my laptop when I get home, and then I can choose to go deeper. A lot of you guys know I wrote a book about IBIT options made easy. In fact, I'm sporting the Be Your Own Banker t-shirt here. By the way, I have these for sale, like on a Fulfilled For You. They're very high quality, light cotton too. A company called Next Level Tees. But yeah, you can go to HODL VSPEND, HODL VSPEND, and get some of these shirts. And I think what we're going to do is we're going to just put the Banking Truth shirts and merch on there soon. I digress. So when I was writing the book, I did not use AI. I hate reading AI slop. I can tell when it's AI slop, but I did use it a lot for fact checking, or like I knew something was true. I knew something like, you know, I knew Bitcoin was classified as a commodity. I didn't know exactly when or what the agency was. Boom, fact check. You know, I even asked it, like, what's the earliest known options transaction ever recorded in history? And that's like one of the premises of my book. Happened in the ancient Talmud in like 12,000 BC. And like, boom, it's like curating and finding that information for me. I think it's great for content curation, search, like kind of top level searching, even next level searching before you go deep. And I just love doing that. I'm fully dressed, shoes are tied today, but like, honestly, I can sit here and tie my shoes. Like I go to pickleball to and from 3 or 4 days a week. And like, I can be half dressed, throw my stuff in the car, have it drive me, talking to AI and changing on the way. But it's incredible to me. The other thing I really, really respect about what Elon did is kind of threw out the playbook in terms of how cars are made, and just kind of stripped it down and rebuilt it from scratch from the user experience. I loved my BMW. Their motto, BMW, is the ultimate driving machine. And I used to think it was, but it's really got nothing on the experience of this. And the fact that it can be, you know, like we had a big van that was paid off, one of those big, it's not a Sprinter, but it's a Ford van, fully paid off because we got it in 2018. I had a Mazda CX-5 for my kids, which is good because that's a safe car. But I mean, it felt like a tin can hunk of junk, you know, cheap. It felt cheap compared to this. But like, I financed it from 2022 at 3.99. And then my BMW was financed from 2021 at 1.9%. Again, these infinite bankers that say you got to do it through your policy, that's crazy town. I left my policies fully intact, earning dividends. It's almost like I got a non-direct recognition loan. But instead of encumbering my policies, I left them the full capacity to be able to do whatever I was going to do with the money for opportunities that came up. Instead of clogging the capacity, I got these non-direct recognition loans that were collateralized by the vehicles themselves. But with the payment structure, my two leases, my 3-year leases on these two vehicles, it's like just over the cost of one of those cars. And I realize I have no equity in something, but with the way that technology has been ramping up, like, I don't know if I'm going to want this thing. This might be like old news in 3 years. I'll take my chances and see what's out there. And again, just, you know, what I'm making up for in productivity and fuel costs, which, by the way, I fully examined by Grok, because it's kind of like one of those things, you know, and I call this the time money continuum. When you're young, you'll like totally go down out of your way to save like $12, right? You'll like, if you're going to buy something, you'll find where it is in stock and you'll go to like a Best Buy that's like 3 or 4 cities away rather than like the nearest one. You know what I mean? Like something like that. Like, where's the cheapest gas? You're going to spend time like, oh my gosh, I could save like 7 cents a gallon by like going over here. When you're young, you have to do that. You have to research all these coupons and when you're older, it's like, I don't want to say I'm like complacent with the money I have, but like my time is the more precious resource. And so I'm less, I like to save money and given the chance I will, but I'm not going to go like way out of my way or waste a bunch of time. So I'd never really done the analysis. And once I bought the Mazda 3 the Tesla 3 instead of the Mazda CX-5, I then was considering getting rid of the BMW. So I was driving the Tesla 3, put on Grok, and I said, like, okay, here's the deal. I have this BMW 530E. I mostly drive only 25 miles, 30 miles a day, to where 2/3 of my miles are electric. However, occasionally I take long trips. So for the life of the car, works out to be a little about like 35, 38% of my total miles are electric. The rest are gas. I think this much is city. I think this much is highway. Given the price of gas going forward, what's going to be my cost for driving my BMW 15,000 miles versus leasing a Tesla Model Y for 3,000 or 15,000 miles? If I can charge it at the middle of the night because I have special rates through my insurance company, go look those up. Did all this verbally while I'm driving. Boom, it just spits it out. And basically told me, like, I can save about 2/3 of fuel cost by getting a second Tesla over my BMW 530E. And I'm like, damn, I'm almost paid off. I had like $4,000 of stereo equipment that I was going to keep forever and just drive that thing into the ground, especially since I had so many electric miles. So even though the car had like 70 or 80,000 total miles, only about 1/3 of them were gas. Whoa, we have a lot of brake lights. And I cannot get into the carpool lane anymore. They got rid of that, which is kind of a bummer. But it was just cool to actually not only, like, rather than me go curate all that, which I was just never going to do. I was never going to go curate all that information. And if it took me any more than just, like, the length of that sentence, I ain't got time for that. But once I kind of did the math on it, I was like, that makes total sense. That makes complete and total sense. So let's do this. What's interesting is we had a client come through, and if you're listening, you know who you are. But he already had some policies, and we identified some inefficiencies. They happen to be from a mutual holding company. They happen to be like hard coded guaranteed failures, which is interesting because a lot of times, you know, they'll rely like, oh my gosh, it's guaranteed. Yeah, like guaranteed not to keep up with inflation and guaranteed to fail. Like, I can't believe so many people are falling for this. But once we got him going, what he did is he actually uploaded policies into ChatGPT. You can kind of do more with ChatGPT. You can upload files, you can make projects if you pay for the thing, the premium. And he was asking it like, what's wrong with it or whatever. And then like he uploaded like, here's what we would do and what's wrong with theirs or what would you do differently. And it wasn't totally accurate, but it was pretty close. Like, it had some good insight. Some of it was just straight out wrong. And I'm sure most of you have found that. But then also he was like, you know, go search Banking Truth sites or these and tell me what you would do differently or, you know, how, like, it was kind of amazing to me. Again, long story short is we're not there yet, but we're getting close with AI, and it, you know, the way that it's accelerating. But I was just kind of amazed that this guy went to that kind of, went through that, that kind of process and got the level of answers he got from a robot, albeit some of it being wrong. And if, I'm sure some of you have done the same thing where you're searching through, like I recently did the tax update with the OBBA. It was interesting that ChatGPT was still way off. And it was like, has nobody uploaded this bill? And I didn't go find it and upload it, but it was still giving me like old news. Versus Grok was current. I think part of it is because it scrapes Twitter, and Twitter is like all about being real time, like stuff happening. And so it was a lot more current. So I tend to use both to kind of fact check each other. And it's just interesting to me to see the different answers that each of it gets. I thought of doing something. I don't know what your take is on this, but I thought of doing offering like Hutch GPT. Like there's a lot of people in my following, like clients, but more so non-clients who like already have enough insurance and want more insurance. Don't want more insurance, but they want insights, whether it be the 40 banking, whether it be taxes, whether it be retirement, and whether it be full-on velocity banking, and how to integrate all those things. Since I dropped my financial advisor licenses, I'm not able to give specific recommendations. However, what I can do is give access to mindsets and frameworks and where to drill deeper, where to look deeper, even if you have to go to, you know, licensed tax advisors, attorneys, financial advisors, you know, which obviously we, a lot of the guys that, all of the guys that handle our insurance leads are licensed to do a lot of that stuff. But what's interesting is I thought, you know, if I could just plug this into AI, like I do with projects with ChatGPT, like I've done certain courses and like I'll download the transcripts and I'll upload them to a project as well as maybe some blogs and some other articles I found interesting. And I'll upload all of those into a project. This is in ChatGPT because you can't do this with Grok yet. And I'll say, focus on this knowledge base. And I'm going to start asking you questions about my situation. And it's nice because with that kind of specific prompt that kind of narrows the sandbox, I'll get better answers. And I may not get like the exact answer, like I'm not going to trust a robot with everything about my situation. But that's kind of like a lot of the clients we deal with, a lot of them are self-starters, self-motivated, and they don't necessarily want their hand held because that's great. I don't really want to hold hands. That's part of the reason why I dropped the licenses. Life is complicated enough. I just sent two Hutch girls to college and one more at home. You know, my mom is thankfully doing well after her brain surgery. And kind of reinventing the business to not only be focused on insurance sales, but educational, financial educational platform with this kind of Hutch GPT mindset. Thought of just offering that as a service where it's like, if you subscribe to Hutch GPT, whether it's a week or a month or whatever, it's like, it's going to be limited. Like there's only going to be so many spots, but like y'all or whoever subscribes during that time, y'all get my undivided attention. Now it doesn't mean we're going to like jump on Zoom or I'm going to jump every time. I don't do that for anybody really, except for my family. With like the phone ringing, but like have like a separate signal or Slack or WhatsApp where it's like, you hit me up and you're going to get an answer within 24 hours, maybe 48 tops, right? Usually I'm pretty good within 24. And sometimes I may say like, sometimes for a particular client situation, it's like, you know what, let me just marinate and noodle in that and get back to you. And then it's like, you'll get a response, but it's like, it's almost like ChatGPT, like deep search, whatever, deep thinking mode. Like, let me noodle and then I'm going to come back to you. Thought about offering that as a service or access. So, give me some feedback and let me know if you think that would be valuable. But yeah, going forward, I think it looks like this. So like essentially we got like the big family truckster van for big family outies or when we're doing things with groups. Sometimes like I like to go see live music and I'll say to my friends like, hey, you know, like a big group, like come pile in the van. We'll throw, take out that there's like a bed, like a custom bed that we have in the back for camping. We haven't done a lot of camping recently, but it's just a beautiful, found this firm in San Diego that like will custom build mattresses, things like a shortened box spring and this much memory foam. My wife will often drive it to work. She teaches TK and she'll have a little break in between the two classes sometimes, or she'll have a little break before picking up my daughter. She'll just come back there and take a nap, which is cool. But I pull that out, put the seats in, bring a big group up to a concert. But anyway, we got that paid off. But the more tactical vehicles are the Tesla leases. But just being able to have this amount of productivity going on, you know, I think what I do best is I think, write, and talk, not necessarily in that order, but really at the end of the day, that's why I get paid, right? Think, write, and talk. And so to have this tool integrated into the vehicle, like, you know, here I am in traffic, whatever. I'm not stressed out. I'm not pissed off. I'm hanging out, talking to y'all. And I got a robot driving me, which is pretty bitching. So going forward, I think it's time for me, you know, like I read an article about how different generations use AI. And it said something like, you know, Gen X and boomers are using it as like a accelerated search engine. And that's, like I told you, that's exactly how I've been using it, is like curated and customized information curation, which makes sense. Like there's no shortage of information. We're in the information age, but it's too much. And so we need somebody, whether it's HutchGPT or Grok or ChatGPT, to just help us hone in and filter in like what's relevant and what's valid for us. I did have this epiphany and actually bought the stock too. Recently had it covered away, selling a covered call. I see a world in the future, and I've already noticed this with search, like not just AI taking over, but on Google search or even on ChatGPT, Reddit is cited often. And it showed up for me that people, you know, it's like whether you like a restaurant or whatever, a Tesla or whatever, people like human recommendations. And so I like the speed and efficiency at which AI will curate information, but I also want validation from a human. And on a web scale, I realize that is happening on the Reddit level. Even on the search in the ChatGPT itself, it's like, here's a bunch of information. Here's what people are saying, which it actually makes sense. I forgot where I was going with that. So to me, that's the future of search. And so Reddit got all the way down to like $90, low $100. I got a good bit of it cheap. And unfortunately, I sold covered calls right before earnings because the premium was so juicy and it just rocketed through. It went from like 150. I think I had like 180 calls. Kind of shot up to the 200s, lost my stock, whatever. Ended up making profits. Things will come back to earth. But really using next level AI in terms of like plugging it into the different integrations and going back to how different generations are using it. I saw that younger generations are using it for like therapy and stuff, you know, and there is like therapist mode on Grok. Yeah, so it's I don't know if I trust it enough to plug it in for like the things that I want deep information for, but I'm going to test it out and see how it goes and possibly offer some of those custom GPTs to people. So yeah. There we have it. Hope you enjoyed this version of Road Noise with Hutch. By the way, I'll put the Tesla link in the chat. If I refer you, then you get like, you save money and I get like, you get 3 months of self-automated driving and I get like $250 or something like that. But it is pretty cool. You don't have much time left to take delivery of something, but yeah, If you're thinking about it or on the fence, now's the time. September 30th, it goes away. Anyway, have a good one. Talk to you next time.